Ricky Sarzo, Boys Are Cold, and you're listening to Monday Night Blah. What is it?
Monday Night Talk.
Oh.
On WATD.
In WATD.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Thank you, State Senator Bob Hedlund. Good conversation. We're going to have to bear watching. I'm trying to get this out of my mouth here. It bears watching as far as what's going to happen with the House budget when they put it forth, and then the Senate. So, well,
I would like to say, I'm on. Okay, I would like to say that I am in favor of Governor Patrick's plan.
Okay, you don't make me get the dog in here to bark at you again.
No, we have three different plans, maybe four different plans.
And we can talk that, of course, that voice, of course, is Ed Miller.
I did ask Joe to stay. I asked him not to move. We do need him here in okay. Massachusetts.
All right. I got to tend to a little bit of business. We are actually waiting for the other gentleman. Joe might have to fill in for Craig.
I believe Craig will show up. Craig is the Washington General.
I will say I had a chance to see last Friday during we had someone who announced their candidacy for mayor. You two look like pals.
I like Craig a lot. Personally, I think he's the nicest guy. Politically, I don't agree with his views.
All right. We'll get to that.
As a middle-class person, okay. I don't agree with his views.
I just want to make sure that we point out some of the sponsors that we have here on Monday Night Talk. And we thank them very much for sponsoring this show exclusively. And that list includes S-Bank, where success starts with S, branches in Weymouth, Hanover, Quincy, and East Bridgewater. S-bank.com or S-bank.com, however you want to say it, are the life care centers of the South Shore, doing whatever it takes to provide quality patient care, located on the Driftway in Scituate. And of course, McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman, known for its friendly pub atmosphere, great food, and a 54-foot mahogany bar. You can check them out online, www.mcguigan'spub.com. That is spelled mcguigansspub.com. Now, we didn't have enough time because we only had an hour, but I want to just briefly let folks know that next week we are going to speak with some folks in regards to a show that's kicking off at the Brockton campus of Massasoit Community College, Streetcar Named Desire. And the show is going to be running Friday, Saturday, Sunday, April 12th through 14th and April 19th to 21st, located at the Brockton campus, 1 Massasoit Boulevard. That there is wheelchair accessible. The Friday and Saturday performances are at 8 p.m., and the Sunday matinees are at 3 p.m. Tickets are $15, $12 for students and senior citizens. Who want more information, if you want to order tickets, 508-427-1234. And standing by is Larry. First two callers to call in will get themselves a pair of tickets to Friday night show. So you're going to be able to go to Friday night show. Call in, give Larry your information. But the first two callers to call in, 781-837-4900, will get a pair of tickets to this Friday night show. Next Monday night, we will speak with Mark Rocheteau, who is the director, not director, I believe that he is the producer of this show, Streetcar Named Desire.
Now, I'm dialing right now.
In studio with us right now, of course, we are anticipating the arrival of Craig Pina. He is the red version of this, red versus blue. He is the Republican City Committee chair in Brockton, and of course is the chair of the Plymouth County Democratic League. And we like to do this little exercise every couple of weeks, barring that we have stuff to talk about. I guess first and foremost, some of the stuff I did something different this time, and I asked both you and Craig to give me some topics that you both can kind of talk about. Whether it was to look at numbers, whether it was to look at things that are going on in the county or the unemployment rate, or if you wanted to kind of jump into the transportation bill that the governor is hoping will be embraced by both the House and Senate. That's what you guys put forth. I was expecting to see WrestleMania 29 in here, but I didn't see it, and I thought maybe we'd get a little bit of NASCAR talk because Joe is a big NASCAR fan.
Good race this weekend.
That's not in here, unfortunately, Joe. So while we have you here, you kind of began the conversation about 5 minutes ago, or at least you lent yourself to the transportation side of things, saying that you support it. So you support a $1.9 billion tax plan?
Well, you have to look at how they're going to be doing the taxes.
Okay.
You have to really look at the solution. Look, we do have to improve our infrastructure. We do have to improve our schools. We have to invest it. We don't want to see bridges falling down while people are driving on it. And right. Our bridges are getting old. We have a 1950s style road service, and we're just patching it up. The governor's plan actually is a progressive plan, where the point is if you make $30,000 to $60,000, your sales tax is going to go down. Your income tax is going to go up, but it's going to be a wash.
Okay, but your sales tax went up a couple of years ago when the governor said it was important to do this. Why is it all of a sudden that it's a shell game that the governor said went a couple of years ago pushed for this? On top of this, he also put a little mechanism in there that if a community wanted to invoke a meals tax, a 0.75 meals tax, I mean, if a community went and did that, you would see it would be a 7% tax. It would 7% as far as taxes go. If a community, if not, it was 6.25. Now all of a sudden the governor's saying, you know what, we're going to drop it down to 4.5% for sales tax, and we're going to increase personal income tax. Now, the personal income tax seems to be, it's been, you know, since 2000, I want to say either 2000 or 2002, has been kind of a bone of contention with some people, because it rose, and there was a vote that was there was something on the ballot to drop it from 5.3% to drop it back down to 5%, and it was supposed to be enacted, and it's never been enacted to this day to drop it down to 5%.
Well, I think because of the
it might have been from 5.3 to 5.2 or something like that. Yeah. And that I don't have it in front of me at this moment, but I know it's something that I've heard conversations over and over and over about it.
Well, remember, that goes to the point where you had the traditional media screaming about regurgitating if you cut the taxes on the rich, they'll create jobs. That's never going to happen. Yeah. I think at the time, you couldn't really go after it because you were just being bombarded with that aspect. I think now people are talking about, wait a minute, we've been waiting 30 years for the job creators to create the jobs. Yeah. It's never going to happen. All you're going to do is put more money in their pocket. So now people are talking about the increase.
But please identify, who are the job creators?
The job creators are the middle class who go out.
I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Go ahead.
And, you know, look.
Continue.
Here's the thing. If you get a $20,000 raise a year, and I hope everybody does, but listen, are you going to invest?
Bad chance of that happening, but.
I can say the same thing. Yeah, but let's just say in the middle class income goes up. They're going to go out and they're going to spend it in the economy. They're not going to be the richest 1%, and they're going to hide it in the Cayman Islands. So basically, the governor's plan is saying if you make over $102,000 or more, your taxes are going to go up from $400 up, depending on how much you make a year. If you're making under $37,000, you're actually going to have more money in your pocket. And if you're making between that $37,000 and $60,000, it's going to be a wash. So that's what our taxes should be, is progressive. The more you make, more you put in. It's not fair that a hedge fund manager pays 15% or less, and we pay 28 to 30%, where they make millions, we make, you know, 50, 40, 60,000, whatever you make.
We actually have an update as to the progress of Craig Pina. Craig is actually on the phone at the moment. I believe that he's trying to get here. Are you not, Craig?
Yes, I am.
Craig, the show
is not cooperating, and I think I spilled my coffee all over me.
Craig, I think the show might be over by the time you get here.
Oh, that could be.
Where are you now, just so we can track you on the big map behind Joe?
I'm on Route 139 in Hanover, I believe. Hanson?
139. I don't think 139 goes to Hanson,
no,
does it?
It doesn't.
That's why he's probably lost.
I have to tell you, you missed unless you were tuned in. Were you tuned in during the segment where we had Michelle McKenzie and Chuck Giovannetti in?
No, I wasn't.
You missed it because Ed showed up early, and as Ed came around the corner, the dog kind of charged out of the room, barking at him right in the middle of the show.
Came up, I patted him. He was a beautiful dog. Licked
it was
my
a beautiful
hand.
Dog.
He knew. And then when he saw, when
he was just being protective.
Right. I mean, that's what you know our pets do, and especially dogs. You can teach a dog to do anything. That a smile is.
I still think it was a Republican dog, but it was just me.
It could. Yeah, but then he liked me. I pat him, rubbed his belly, and he became a Democrat.
All right. Well, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
But then
it's
when,
not that easy. No.
But then when Kevin stood up, the dog went over and barked at Kevin, and then ran away.
Yeah.
So, have you heard any of the conversation since we started the segment about 10 minutes ago?
Oh, of course I did, and I was listening to what. Mr. Miller was saying, and you know the fact that he likes that the left likes to vilify people who earn money. It just amazes me how they continue to do that. Now this culture that they're trying to breed that is based on envy and hatred. It's really going to stop. The only way to grow an economy is to grow businesses. The only way to grow businesses is to allow people who earn their money to keep their money.
Put it in the Cayman Islands where we have it's $32 trillion that are outside the United States that the richest 1% are hiding. So, Craig, I'm not saying they should be paying.
Wait a minute.
Be the Washington Generals and
here's
listen.
Here's why I have to step in. Remember, we had a conversation before we came on the air. Let him finish what he is saying, because I have to tell you that I have heard from people, because when it gets to a certain point in the conversation where you feel it's time to jump in, let him finish. And Craig, try to at least, when you try to finish your thought, try to do it in a, don't take up too much time. You know what I mean? You don't have to kind of build a scenario to walk us through it as you're explaining it to us. But basically, give us the point counterpoint. Pick up where you left off, and then Ed can rebut what you say afterwards. Go ahead.
Is it my turn now?
Well, you're going to finish what you were saying, so he can rebut what you're saying.
Well, the funny thing is that he hates people that do what they want with their money. Every time he says that tax cuts for the rich, which is a code word for vilifying people who have money. Right. When he says tax cuts for the rich is a bad thing, and the rich will never create jobs. He says we've been waiting 30 years for the rich to create jobs. What happened during the 80s? What happened after the Republican Revolution during the Clinton administration? Yes, the people who had money invested in their businesses, created jobs, and created a strong economy. When we vilify profit, when
yep.
profit becomes a bad word,
yep.
that's when we start going the other direction. That's when things start to take a downturn.
Okay. Now, Ed actually put together some numbers that...
Oh, jeez.
But no, hold on now. Let's be fair.
Stop.
Share your numbers.
Yeah, I will.
As to build your case.
You have to understand, I have the facts, Craig has the fox. And Craig, I would like to say thank you for saying Bill Clinton, a Democrat, created a robust economy. Thank you very much. We raised
the tax. No, I said it was after the Republican Revolution. That's the only reason why there was a strong economy.
Well,
the first 2 years of the Clinton administration were failures.
But can't we admit that
you and then what, once 2 years and the last six were a success. Thank you for admitting that.
But would you not admit that the economy is cyclical, okay? And it basically, I don't care who the president is, a lot of times it goes through four different stages that, you know what, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, it's just the process that it goes through. If you watch the trends, if you know anything about economics, the word I use, cyclical, it's basically a process. And sometimes
I'll tell you why it's cyclical. It's because of the Keynesian meddling with the economy that our government has taken part in since FDR. If the free market were actually allowed to prevail, there would not be a large bubble and burst cycle. It has everything to do with government meddling in the economy.
All right, so let him. Ed. Go
well,
ahead.
we had the last Great Depression because we had three Republican presidents and Republicans controlled when we had Coolidge, Hoover, and before that. We really had success when we had laws to protect the middle class from the late 30s into the 80s until we went into Reaganomics, which actually started creating the biggest bubbles. When we had laws and fair taxes, that's when we had the best economic growth. So to say that, oh, well, every time a Democrat comes in, no, it's every time the Democrat comes in, we got to clean up the mess for the Republicans. Now, under Reagan, he tripled the national debt. Under Clinton, under Obama, it has been 60%, but because we haven't taken care of the two tax cuts George Bush gave to the rich, that we have gift to the pharmacies and the health care plan in 2005, which hurt a lot of seniors. The issue is, when we have, and you're saying, I want to tax the rich 100%. No, I want to see them to pay the same percent that I do. Not 14%, not 12%, not 10%, 28 to 30%.
Okay, let me ask you.
Can I just interject? There is no way in the world that you pay 28 to 30%.
Okay, but I got to say one thing, and that is, and again, I am somebody who's in the middle, and I feel that I'm somebody who's as neutral as I can be. When I look at what Governor Deval Patrick wants to do, 2 years ago, he wanted us to spend our way out of the recession. And I don't think that the taxpayers in Massachusetts spent their way out quick enough. So what this plan is saying to me, the taxpayer, is you didn't spend us out, so we're just going to take it directly out of your pocket. That's what it says to me. Is that's why he's raising the personal income tax up to 6.25% and dropping the sales tax. He initially increased it a couple of years ago, hoping that we would spend our way out of it. If anything, people got more conservative and didn't spend.
But you can't spend what you don't have.
Thank you.
And so you can raise a percentage, but until we have a fairer share in getting paid and having the middle class make the money they made in the 50s and 60s and 70s, right, you're not really going to have that. Back in the 40s to the 70s, corporations paid about 45%. Personal income on the richest 1% was about 38%. Now they're down to like 15%. Corporations, you're lucky if they pay 2%.
Okay.
So and when you're taking revenue out of the system, you're losing money. And when you're counting on the middle class to make up for it, it's just finally you can't be taxed enough. Finally, tax a fair share to the people who make it. They can always move to Bangladesh where they want to send and have, and China where they have where they pay them $2 a day, okay, and they have no benefits, and it's a perfect utopian system for the richest 1%.
All right, we got limited time here. We got about
what Mr. Miller is demonstrating is his fundamental misunderstanding. He doesn't have any knowledge of the tax system and how people are actually taxed. He believes that he pays a higher percentage of taxes than people who earn more income. There is no way in the world he is paying 28%. If he is, he needs to fire his tax accountant right away. There's no possible what he's doing. He's misleading. He's taking his tax rate and projecting it onto his adjusted gross income, which isn't the same thing. And people who have money, yes, they take their tax deductions, but I guarantee they pay the same percentage, but a much bigger percentage. And that percentage is a lot more than you and I pay.
All right,
it's a good thing that every economist disagrees with you, because if he did, we'd really be...
Okay.
I'd like to know... It's very nice how he likes to generalize without any backup. There is no way that every economist disagrees with me. It's every Keynesian economist disagrees with me. Because
yes,
they're
the ones
wrong.
Who are always correct are disagreeing.
Okay, I got to take this while we have limited time, I have to ask you guys this. The money that the governor wants to take for the budget, when we saw his budget come out, mm-hmm, you know, a little bit more than 2 months ago, wants to put it towards transportation, wants to put it towards education. The one thing that has been omitted, supposedly, from this package is the South Coast Rail project. How do you feel about that being omitted? And do you feel that the MBTA as an agency is getting any assistance out of this and is going to finally be pulled out of the red and into the black and no longer on the backs of the taxpayers. Craig?
I think there's some fundamental mismanagement of the MBTA, and that whole organization needs to be audited to find out exactly where the problems are. I don't think there are other systems throughout the world that don't run as inefficiently as the MBTA. There are some fundamental changes that need to be made there, and I don't think spending more money on it is the answer.
Well, you mentioned the MBTA and then how other countries do it. That's because every other first world industrial country, their public transportation is paid 100% by the government. So, and that's not something that the Craig Penas of the world want. They don't want to pay anything.
You're just making things up now. You can't put words in my mouth.
Well, you know, here's some other thing.
Without attacking each other. Yeah. Let's put it in your personal, how you look at it as far as the MBTA. Do you feel that it can be fixed, or do you feel that it's broken beyond repair and something has to be done? Because we saw transportation reform a couple of years ago, and we didn't see an entire overhaul of the MBTA because there were other problems that were associated with it, and it was something that was going to be fixed down the road. I'm asking you, how do you feel about the MBTA being a part of this $1.9 billion package? Do you feel that if we're spending this kind of money, is it going to fix the problem, or is it just a bigger Band-Aid? That's what I'm asking you, Ed.
No, anything can be fixed, and correct. It has to be run correctly.
Right.
But we're trying to fix a whole transportation network, and the MBTA and Amtrak are part of that. We have, as I said, we have a 1950s road systems in the 21st century. We have more cars than they probably ever thought. We have to figure out different ways to get people to work and keeping them out of their cars at least, 75% of the way.
Right.
Which would also help on people saving money on gas, which would help the structures that we have.
Well, you'd save on that 3 cent gas tax that the House and Senate leaders want to invoke in their plan.
I'm not really thrilled with that plan because it is that's going after the middle class. And that's going after the poor people who really don't have the money. And so basically, we do have to figure out new ways. So it can be taxed. And look, we are the government. I say this all the time. You're the government. Even
you're
Craig
saying we are the world.
The government,
but
because we get involved.
Okay, Craig, hold on one second. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah.
Well, my
Hold on, Craig. Go ahead, Joe.
My perspective in all of this is from someone who has to drive to work 3 days a week and has to drive a vehicle, and I have seen none of I don't use the MBTA, and I think from my perspective, and I have a feeling a lot of other people feel the same way, where we're tired of having, after the big dig, and I believe the sentiments felt by many, many people, that we're tired of seeing money thrown at projects and thrown at transportation, because we had $14 billion thrown at the big dig, and to be completely honest, it was I would say 80% ineffective. I mean, you still have cars that back all the way down 93, and really the only benefit was the few people, and I say few relative to the population of Massachusetts,
Craig,
that used the Callahan Tunnel to go to Logan.
Craig, you get the last word.
Well, I think before we invest more money into expanding a broken program, the program needs to be fixed. There's no way to fix the MBTA without a comprehensive audit of the entire system. You mentioned spending more money. There is more than enough money coming into the state right now that we don't even need any tax increases. Revenues are way above projections, and we can actually handle any added expenses that are reasonable right now without a tax increase. That's the dirty little secret that the administration and the Democrats aren't telling people.
Okay, we got 1 minute left.
Guess what? I'm in the parking lot.
Well, I knew you'd get here when we shutting the show down. Okay, I got to ask you both a quick question. You were both at Bill Carpenter's kickoff. Give me your thoughts quickly, Ed, as to his kickoff. Did you like it or not?
Oh, I thought it was a lot of people there. I thought he had a very good kickoff. I'm going to disagree that we should buy the Aquaria. When it was for sale, it was $60 million. It's going to be a lot more now. I don't think the people... The problem Bill's going to have, I'm going to say, is just in the last... from the 2010 to now, we've had almost 3,000 people who registered and voted as Democrats. We had 206 in Brockton.
You got to wrap it up.
Who registered as Republican.
Okay.
I think he's going to have a little problem. He's an independent, but I think he's going to have a little problem.
Craig, quickly.
I think it was a great event. There's a lot of excitement, and I think Bill's going to be a great candidate.
Okay. I want to thank you guys for showing up, even if it's at the last minute. Chuck Giovannetti and Michelle McKenzie, also Bob Hedlund, being a part of the show, and of course Joe. Hey, South Shore Live up next. Look, he shows up and just walks in. Be sure to tune in. We'll be back at our regular scheduled time next Monday night at 6:15. Have a great night.